This is We Teach Languages, a podcast about language teaching from the diverse perspectives of real teachers. I'm Stacey Margarita Johnson, and today on episode 74, Dr. Brenna Bird is on the show to talk about her role at the University of Kentucky, her experience as the 2017 Teacher of the Year for SCOLT, the Southern Conference on Language Teaching, and her advice for new graduate student instructors navigating challenges in the classroom. So, Brenna, do you mind if we start just by you telling us a little bit about what you do, what you research, what you teach?
So first off, my official title, I am the Director of Beginning German, which means that I'm in charge of the curriculum for the first three, and now we've kind of squished it into four, the first four semesters of German at the University of Kentucky. I have to train the TAs, so the first three and now sometimes four semesters are usually taught by graduate student instructors, and so I'm in charge of training them. I'm in charge of designing the curriculum, and then I go observe the teachers teach and I give them feedback. I teach pedagogy courses with them. So I also teach a methods course. I share that with my colleague Alan Brown in Spanish, and so he'll teach it for a couple years and I'll teach it for a couple years. But I do this extra pedagogy class, which I inherited from the Kentucky training system. My colleagues, Linda and Harold, wrote an article on it, actually, in an MLA, about this extended pedagogy. And so they have, the first semester is just kind of giving them a little extra support in the classroom. What is it that you're doing, you know, to addition to the methods course, but more specific to German. The next semester is we start reading research on teaching. So the second semester for me is really, what is culture and what is the role of culture in the classroom? So I give them articles. They read different articles on these topics that change their opinion about what teaching is, what teaching a language is, but what teaching is in general. And then that follows them the next year, then they have to start doing their own independent research. And then we walk them through the process of like putting together abstract, putting together a conference paper.
Oh, that's fantastic.
It's easier for me as a director if they're on the same page. Like I can't force them to care about bringing in culture, because cultural knowledge can be so personal. And they can't teach about the things that I have experienced or that I know about. They need to think about their own reflections when they went to the culture, and also how to get the students, like, why is it important to get the students to think about this, and what kind of things can they share? Because that is the thing that I find really important in teacher training, is the passion, the finding their passion for teaching that is more in line with the actual teaching of different cultures and languages, rather than, like, ever so often I'll get somebody in who just loves grammar. And I love grammar. I'm a total nerd. I'm a linguist. I love grammar. But that can't be your passion. Like, and grammar often is like puzzles. You remember, okay, this goes in this thing. You know, I remember my adjective ending charts, right? And memorizing those things. And it can feel very validating, and you can feel really good about yourself when you can fill out a little chart like that. And I get it, honestly, like, I'm not opposed to charts. I know a lot of people are very, very opposed to charts, but I feel like motivation is the most important part. And so if a student is more motivated because they feel comfortable with their little charts that they've memorized, I'll let them have it. But some students, they want to have that control. And so I let them, I don't tell them, you know, oh, well, the charts aren't really, like, there's always exceptions to the rule. I don't tell them at that point. I used to, and it made them very frustrated. They're like, I want there to be an easy answer. And I'm like, they're language humans. There's nothing easy about humans. Oh,
but I think if students need an easy answer, grammar is the safest place to go to look for one also. So I love that perspective. I think that's great. So you're designing the course and you're training the TAs, but do you actually teach in the program as well? Or is that only occasionally?
I haven't had the opportunity to teach the language courses as much as I used to. I used to always co-teach with two TAs, and then my colleague Harold would co-teach with two TAs, and we've been short-staffed. And I loved, like, the first semester, the TA would only watch me for like half a semester and then start slowly taking over. I have not been in the last couple of years able to teach the 101 as, and it's, that's frustrating, but I did do the redesign before, like while I was in the classroom. 102, which is our second semester, I had not taught, and I was a little worried about it because I was hearing different things from the teachers and the students about how things were going. And I just decided, and I'm coming off of maternity leave, and maybe it was a stupid decision, but I'm like, I'm just going to go in and I'm going to co-teach two sections. I think it's very important because I am not comfortable presenting or publishing on something that I myself have not taught. Mm-hmm. Because people ask, well, how did it work? You know, and I've been working with graduate students on introducing technology into the second semester. I feel like the second semester is hard in any language because the first semester, it's all new, it's all great. You just can't wait. You know, you feel so confident. The second semester, well, because we're following a textbook, and right, so the first semester is more...
What textbook do you use?
That's another thing. So in my redesign, I moved to OER, so Open Educational Resources. Great. So I use the Deutsch im Blick, which is, it's something that was created by the CORELL at University of Texas Austin. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It made sense to me. So my colleague Julie Heumann also uses the Français Interactif, mm-hmm, from University of Texas Austin, and we just decided to go online, just do online textbooks, maybe 4 years ago. I went backwards. I started first in the third semester where we had already kind of been fiddling around with more topic-based things, and then like slowly went in, you know, and so that we added more from the textbook to the point where we didn't need the actual physical textbook we were using anymore. Because our textbook was $300.
Yeah, that's crazy.
And we have a lot of students that just, they can't afford that.
Yeah, who can afford that?
Right. And two of the things, like, it was like $60 a piece for an online workbook. So it's not something you could sell back, mm-hmm, or even rent. So yeah, we have this online textbook now. It's $30 if you want a physical hard copy. And there's a lot of online stuff. People add Quizlet exercises to it. And so what I've been doing is I've been taking that and supplementing it with our own videos, our own materials, but we still stay focused on the topics. So the first semester to me is really about a couple of things. One thing is just talking about being able to do a small conversation about yourself. And I think, yeah, again, the second semester is hard because it shifts to not just talking about yourself anymore. You have to talk about other people. Mm-hmm. So, right, we've got, you know, language program, you know, German program stuff. I do the methods course also. So I switch, like, with my colleague in Spanish. So French and German and Spanish. So I'm training them. And like I said, I do folklore mythology. My research background is Turkish, German, and hip-hop. So, cool. Yeah, I was so lucky. When I was at UCLA, I was in this group, the hip-hop working studies group. And my professor, Sammy Alim, and all of the people I worked with, it was just amazing. So I learned so much. And so I'm really interested in youth identity and sociolinguistics. And so I do that. Sometimes I'm working with a student now on an independent study, and he's looking into Afro-Germans and race and ethnicity and hip-hop in Germany and comparing it to the U.S. Then my husband and I both are interested in Indo-European. We both did historical linguistics in graduate school. We met in Old English, so we're total nerds for dead languages. We worked on this amazing, we had this amazing opportunity. We got to work on a video game and make a conlang for Proto-Indo-European. Basically, we put together a version of Proto-Indo-European that could actually be spoken and listened and rehearsed and mm-hmm, learned by actors. And then we got to go up to Canada for a whole summer and work with the actors on set. It was amazing. It was a great opportunity.
So fun.
Yeah, Far Cry Primal. It's like really fun. And he was like, wow, wouldn't it be cool if we could put together a video game of our own that would teach people Proto-Indo-European? And so that's what we're working on right now.
That's great. Because another thing I wanted to ask you about is last year you were, mm-hmm, the Sculpt Teacher of the Year, mm-hmm, and before that you were the Kentucky Teacher of the, yeah, Year. What is it like being a regional Teacher of the Year?
Well, it was really interesting because, you know, I won and then I had a baby. It was an interesting experience to have those things happen simultaneously because I was so I was so, my head was so much into the baby that, like, I'm starting to, it's been like the last couple of months that I've been like, oh yeah, okay, cool. But yeah, it's, winning the awards was really unexpected, I felt. Like, I was not thinking that I was going to win. I didn't even know that a professor could win in the first one. I was just, it was very validating that I'm doing something right and I'm doing something important. Mm-hmm. It was a very validating experience. And then going to ACTFL was, you feel like a celebrity. It was really funny. Like, your face is on stuff. And I met so many people, and you are now the teacher of the year for life. You know, people know who you are, and they come up and they talk to you. And so, yeah, winning an award, yes, awesome. It's been a fun experience.
So what is your advice for new teachers?
I think the thing that I see new teachers struggle with the most is confidence and connections to their students. You know, I teach methods, and I've been researching methods, and I call myself a methods agnostic. I don't have any one true way to teach. I've seen people do it, quote, all wrong, and still turn out good language students. People who have increased their knowledge, their proficiency, their motivation, because they're motivated, because they connect with the teacher, because they want to do, they want to do that. They want to do something. They want to be part of that community. And as a sociolinguist, you know, I understand that on another level, that the way that we talk, the way that we speak is unconscious, and it always reflects who we want to be and who we want to belong to. And so you can go in and also do everything, quote, right. And if you don't connect with the students, it doesn't matter. They're not going to want to do anything. You have to connect with them. You have to get to know them. You have to bring yourself into the classroom. You have to be willing to allow that. You can't close yourself off from them. You have to bring in pictures of your family and your dogs and, you know, whatever it is that you like. And you have to be confident and fearless to just allow that to happen. You have to go in and believe, yeah, you're going to screw up. We all screw up. We all make mistakes. You're going to make mistakes in language. You're going to make mistakes in methods. You're going to make mistakes in just one day you're going to lose your temper, you know, and say something maybe you shouldn't. But the most important thing that I have found is that students will forgive you. You could have like the worst day. They will forgive you as long as you are able to connect with them. And sometimes, you know, I always tell my first years, you know, they'll say, oh, this student's doing this. Like, have you brought them into your office hour? Have you talked to them? Like, anytime there's a student that's not doing something, either they're too outgoing, or they're too shy, or they're not coming to class, or their homework is like, have you talked to them? Because once you can connect, as in Germans we say, under four eyes, unter vier Augen, if you can connect under four eyes, if you can connect one-on-one, your student will do the other work that they will make up the extra work to get to the point that you want them to be at.
I'm just really grateful that you took so much time at the conference to come talk to me.
Yeah, no, this is fun.
If this interview has piqued your interest and you are interested in learning more about using an open textbook in your course, or if you just want to know more about Dr. Bird and her work, visit the show notes available at weteachlang.com/episodes for links and resources. We would love to hear your thoughts after listening to the episode. You can find us on Twitter or Facebook at weteachlang. You can comment on any of the episodes on our website at weteachlang.com, or you can send a text message or leave a voicemail on our Google Voice number 629-888-3398. Don't forget to tell your friends and colleagues about the show, and please consider leaving us a review on iTunes or on your podcast app of choice to help others find the podcast as well. Thank you so much for listening. Bye-bye.